There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my co-host, Jay Binkley. Jay, we just finished week 7.
I can't believe week 7. You kidding me?
Things are flying by right now. We're starting to get even more clarity than we already have about who is and who isn't a contender for the national college football playoff. And we had some really good matchups this past weekend, USC and Notre Dame. And then the big one, the heavyweight fight taking place up in Seattle with Washington hosting the Oregon Ducks. This was a hell of a weekend of college football, and I think we got a lot of things to talk about just based off of what happened.
It was the draft guru's dream scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, I got up early. Well, it's not early, but I started watching Florida State and Syracuse, obviously, because what I tell you all along, I want to see Jared Verse. I want to see an edge that's right now considered one or two edge in football make a play. I told you I waited for him. He made a play. He got a fumble recovery, but it only ended up with one tackle and no sacks. But he did make a play, watch that. But then, of course, that Oregon-Washington game, like you're saying, it's a top offense in the nation, Washington. It's a fun offense to watch. Three first-round wide receivers, one a fringe guy, first-round pick, but two obvious maybe first-round quarterbacks in Penix and Bo Nix. But that was one tape that I'm pretty sure, well, there's a ton of scouts there. There's over 30-some-odd scouts there.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's tons of pro prospects.
Yeah.
It was a very great game.
Oh, they were a Colorado game the night before. But
Of course. And that one didn't quite go as well. But there was a lot of great football that was played on Saturday. That matchup was just, that was the heavyweight matchup. You had College Game Day was there. They had Joel McHale dressed up like an idiot with all that paint on his body. And, like, the crowd there was very raucous. And they were, I mean, it was a great environment watching the game. I was really, really into it. I had a lot of fun watching that football game. And, like, to me, that kind of game like that is what makes college football special. It's just a different kind of environment in sports.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's so fun, Chris. I think so many people are getting addicted to it. You hear so many people talking about watching the games they don't normally watch. I hear people all the time say it. They don't usually watch football, but Deion in Colorado brought them back. Now they're addicted to the sport, which is good because it's translating to the NFL draft. It's translating to the combine. So I think draw big numbers. Now they've scaled back and they don't have it in prime time, a lot of the 40 times and stuff like this. But it's parlaying to the draft. That's why the draft is so popular and becoming such a thing to do in the United States, because you've seen these guys play. And the more and more people that watch college football see these prospects in action. So It used to be, like, I watch baseball draft a lot, and I learn about the players because I haven't seen a lot of these guys.
You didn't watch them play in college or in high school.
But sitting there watching the draft, I've seen a lot of these guys play. And so you have, you know, opinions on the different guys. But, yeah, I mean, it just shows you football is getting crazy now, and everybody on Twitter is a Mel Kiper.
Yeah, well, we've had some people attempt to do a Mel Kiper impression here over the last couple weeks. We've seen some mock drafts come out. Usually most of the mock drafts are from like some blog somewhere, but we've had a couple from some top in organizations in sports media who have put out mock drafts here this month. The first one was a 2-round mock draft from Sports Illustrated, and they had the Chiefs, couple picks there, couple picks I like. First round, they got tight end Jatavion Sanders going to the Chiefs.
That's been a popular one. Even
very popular
back
one.
Into August.
I imagine that he's probably going to be the player that is most mocked to the Chiefs this year, especially because of the issues that the Chiefs have with pass catchers. And then the other one that I've seen a lot is, and then the other guy that they had on that mock draft in the second round, because this is a 2-round mock, was Xavier Worthy, wide receiver for Texas. So,
which is funny because I've actually seen Worthy in round one.
Me too.
With the Chiefs.
Me too. So that kind of threw me off too because I was like, I don't think he's going to be there when the Chiefs are picking wherever they're picking in the late second. I don't think he's going to be there. So I definitely was like, yeah, I kind of feel like this is like Xavier Worthy. I think is a late first, early second. I don't think he's going to be there late first. I mean, a late second. So to me, that one was someone doesn't quite know the value of some of these players quite yet. And then the other one I saw was from CBS Sports, and they had the Chiefs taking Howard Cross, defensive tackle from Notre Dame. Obviously, we have both advocated for Jatavion Sanders to go to the Chiefs in the first round. If the Chiefs were able to double dip there on Texas and get Jatavion Sanders and Xavier Worthy, talk about a hell of a crop with the first couple rounds there.
It's crazy when you think about that team and just kind of how NFL ready Texas is. A lot of scouts going around there too. And I like A.D. Mitchell, and he's a guy, a Texas receiver that's being mocked a lot to Kansas City as well. Like, he's one of those guys from Texas. When you think about Jatavion Sanders and everything, A.D. Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell. I mean, he goes by several names. He played at Georgia. He had a catch in the national title game the first year. Second year, he got a pass in the semifinal game. He transferred to be closer to his kid. So it was kind of a family move is why he's at Texas.
Yeah.
But A.D. Mitchell's putting up a hell of a year. And really, three guys on the – well, if we conclude the quarterback Quinn Ewers, four guys in that offense looking to be drafted. Fun to watch.
Yeah, four guys in the offense, yeah, because I think Jonathan Brooks is really working his way up. Jonathan Brooks is – probably a second round pick, but I could see him
or
playing
more of a
himself
mid-round with being a running back.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I think he's probably a second rounder because he to me doesn't look quite Bijan Robinson like, but he looks like an electric runner. And
so that's 5 out of 11.
Exactly. Right? Like you look at them and it's like, okay, they got a lot of talent in that Texas offense there. But yeah, I would be very happy with the two Texas guys there. As far as Howard Cross goes, I kind of feel like if you're in that position there at, you know, 31, 32 or wherever, and you, like, the only way I'd be cool with them taking defensive tackle there is if all of the big-time pass catchers are off the board. That's it. Like, if Jatavion's off the board, if a Dunsey or McMillan are off the board, then okay, I'll start. If Keon Coleman's gone, okay, I'll start looking at that. But like, to me, I think you probably want to go pass catcher there just because of the deficiencies we've seen with this Chiefs offense. And the defense looks very good right now. And I trust their ability to find more pass rush help for their defense outside of the first round. They've done a very good job of finding value.
Well, you got a mini Hugh that's coming back, and he's going to be here for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Chris Jones, we don't 100% know. Keandre Coburn, they're basically redshirting.
Right.
I do think he makes it at this level and fine. But this is, to me, this is a year in Detroit where the draft is. It's about skill positions for the Chiefs. They have rebuilt their offensive line. They have bulked up their defense to amazing defense right now. Got heavy on defensive backs. They've gone edge in the first round the last 2 years. Trent McDuffie, when they had the multiple first-round picks from that defense. And, yes, Rashee Rice, second rounder. Sky Moore, second rounder. But it is time to go big wide receiver. And they're all big and physical. That's the one thing about these receivers we talked about, 6'3", 6'4". You're going to be getting kind of an A.D. Mitchell's looking at 6'4". I mean, you're looking at guys, you know, that fit the profile for what they want.
I don't really care about the size because I don't think they care about the size as much. I think for them, they just want guys who can get separation, get open, run after the catch. That's what matters to them. And you look at what this team values, there's guys like that in this draft right now who are guys who can get separation, guys who can win in man coverage. That, to me, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at guys who are smart enough to be able to diagnose the type of zone coverage they're facing off against and be able to work against that. And I think this draft is just full of wide receiver talent, and I think you'd be silly to not take advantage of that. I get the Chris Jones situation there, yeah. And I do think it's a position they need to address at the very earliest, I think, on the second day. But I think first round, you go and get Mahomes a little help.
Well, this is why I'm so enamored with 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", because what's going to happen to Kelce in the future? We're not 100% sure, but if you have that 6'4 receiver, can replace a lot of that red zone threats. Now, MVS, 6'4", runs a 4.37, but a lot of times they just can't find him on the field. Justin Ross has that size at 6'4", but he's got to get on the field more, get acclimated more. What I want is the athletic, the speedster at 6'4", that's also a good blocker, the complete package, kind of like a taller version of Sammy Watkins. That's the one thing they're missing, and especially if Travis Kelce, you know, gets hurt or they lose Kelce for a while. Yes, it's a wide receiver, not a tight end, but they're all split out. Travis Kelce essentially plays wide receiver most of the time, but get that big 6'4", 6'5", frame in for red zone targets.
Yeah, well, they don't. The thing is the only time they really went to that was last year. Like, they have shown a lot of creativity to where they don't really need to go, we're going to go throw the tall guy in the red zone. I mean, they have shown that they're willing to spread it around and kind of hit, like, find the right play. Like, they'll script plays to McColl. They'll script plays to Tyreek. You know, they'll throw to their running back and let him do work. Like Jet last year. Jet got a ton of red zone targets, got a ton of touchdowns. Like, they're not the kind of team that's just going to, oh, let's just throw the fade route to the tall guy. So I don't think that right there is really their MO. So for them, I think it's if you're fast, if you can get separation, if you can be reliable as a catcher, if you can get yards after the catch, I think that's going to be important. But this is a good size. Like, all these guys are 5'11 plus.
It's different.
It's a good size draft.
It's a different looking draft at wide receiver. And, you know, for the most part, you know, the Chiefs have been going to the steady guy. I mean, Mahomes threw 75% completion against the Broncos. It was a ton of just short yardage passes. Yeah.
Very safe.
Out of the backfield. They like that safe kind of feel to it.
So, moving on here to a list that Pro Football Focus put out. They put out their midseason All-America team. I think this is a gold mine. If you're looking for players to watch, if you're looking for the next names.
It's a first-round who's who list.
Just this is a who's who of who to look for on the first couple days of the draft. Like, I looked at this list and it was like a bunch of guys we've been talking about. And it's a bunch of guys who, there were some guys like I hadn't heard of that was like, I looked at their stuff. I was like, okay, I see.
Basically a list. I looked at your list. This is basically a list of first and.
Yeah.
And early to mid for second.
Early rounders. To mid second rounders. Maybe some of these guys drop to third day. I mean, to third round. But these are all guys first 2 days will be off the board. So starting with the offense.
Except for like some of the guys that are not drafted. Eligible.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. So starting with the offense, their quarterback is Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington, which is obvious. He's been
Heisman favorite.
He's the Heisman favorite. He's been the best quarterback this year in terms of production. Their running backs, they have Autryk Estime from Notre Dame and Jonathan Brooks from Texas, which very strong list there. Like I said, Estime has been one of the best in terms of production this year. Was at one point the rushing yards leader. And then Jonathan Brooks has really worked his way up in the last month or so and has really set himself up to be, I think, a second-day pick. You have your wide receivers, Luther Burden II from Mizzou, who is not draft eligible, but I think certainly we're going to be looking at as a top 10, maybe top 5 pick next year.
Had a down game against a very good Missouri.
Yeah, I mean a very good Kentucky game. Yeah,
Malik Nabers is one of my favorites. I've told you he's one of my favorite, probably my second favorite wide receiver. Again, over 6 foot. And Brian Thomas, I've been telling you, this is my guy. Yep. Like, watch Brian Thomas. He's big, he's physical, and what he does, the wide receiver, keeps shooting up the charts. But Brian Thomas, no shock seeing two LSU guys on here. Again, that's kind of a professionally run offense. Their defense is lacking many ways. But Brian Thomas, one of my favorite wide receivers in college football.
Then at tight end, they got Brock Bowers, UGA. And then on the line, they got Joe Alt and Talisi Fuaga from Oregon State as their tackles.
Great tackles.
Then at guard, you've got Cooper Beebe from K-State, and you got Christian Haynes from UConn. And then at center, you got Jackson Powers out of Oregon. So I think you've got yourself a very strong group of players here. Obviously, there's a lot of names that we've talked about. We talked a lot about Joe Alt. We talked a lot about Cooper Beebe. You know, the receivers, I mean, you've been big on Brian Thomas Jr. here the last few weeks. Bowers, we update every single week.
He is, which is funny because there's so many damn receivers, man. It's like there's so many guys. Like, and with all these quarterbacks going, Chris, and some defensive linemen, some edges, the Chiefs are going to have the pick of the litter at the bottom of the first round as far as wide receivers.
Yeah,
there's a lot of first-round receivers. Because usually they say teams put grades on. Remember the year that Trent McDuffie went? The Chiefs only had about 20 first-round grades they assigned.
Yeah.
In this past year, most teams had 12 to 15 first-round grades. This was not a strong first round of the draft. So 12 to 15, and after that, it's a crapshoot. Either second-rounders, you consider them there, but you just want them on your football team. I have a strong feeling that that we're going to see 25 to 30 guys with, quote, first-round grades on them this year.
Could be more. I mean, it could be more.
This could be the whole first round.
It could be the entire first round and into the second round. That's how talented I think this draft class is. So, yeah, I do agree with you. I think this is could be a very, very strong move here as far as like teams with their grades go.
I cannot wait till receivers turn at the combine, man.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I
cannot wait for that.
Moving on to the defensive side. Defensive tackles, you got Jerzon Newton from Illinois, a guy that we've talked about a lot. And then you got Howard Cross from Notre Dame, a guy that I brought up was mocked to the Chiefs by CBS Sports. On the edge, you got Liatu Latu, my guy from UCLA, who has been one of the best pass rushers in the country this year. And then opposite him, the guy who's probably going to be the top edge rusher taken in this draft class, Dallas Turner from Alabama. I really like these two guys here. These are probably my two best edge rushers in this draft class.
Jared Verse has something to say about that.
Verse is real late to the party here as far as production goes. So I think that those two guys certainly going to be up there as well.
There's another edge that's starting to get a lot of run from UCLA and the other side of Latu, Gabriel Murphy.
Yeah.
He's 6'3", about 260, could probably get up to about 275 pounds. Got 2.5 sacks this year. Plays on the opposite. Latu's got 5.5. He's got 2.5. So that's a lot of production from your edges from UCLA.
Yeah, that's good.
But Gabriel Murphy's starting to get a little bit of run here lately with UCLA.
Yeah.
Because everybody's there to watch Latu, but then, you know, you Gabriel see, Murphy see the guy is starting the to side, climb the
yeah.
charts.
Yeah, he could work his way up to maybe second day and really work his get a little extra money there in how he's produced. And the linebacking core, you got Peyton Wilson from NC State. You've got Jason Henderson from Old Dominion. It's funny, last year
Old Dominion.
In the draft, last offseason in the draft, we talked a lot about Old Dominion guys.
It's bad a team that we had four guys on the team draft.
Old Dominion guys, they have four guys drafted. Now they've got probably maybe the best pure linebacker in this draft class with Jason Henderson. This kid is. We'll talk more about him in Moneymakers. This kid's a stud, though. He can play. Then over in the DB room, you've got Denzel Burke, cornerback for Ohio State, which is a guy, obviously, you know, you should be watching Ohio State anyways. Ohio State's got a lot of talent. Denzel Burke is a guy, before the season started, we knew he was going to be really good
Chiefs,
this year.
They don't think they care about
him. Yeah, they don't really care about those Ohio State guys. on the other side there, you've got Chris Abrams-Drain from Mizzou.
Which is crazy that he's starting to get some run, man. He's really starting to get some running. He looked great against Kentucky.
Yeah. I heard about him last year as a one of the better corners in college football. Yeah, this year he's definitely really started to make a run. I did see him on like one of the way too earlies as a potential second day pick. So certainly one of the guys that that you want to hear about there.
No Kool-Aid McKinstry on the list.
No Kool-Aid McKinstry. But again, this is PFF. PFF isn't always going to go with the most notable players there in those positions. I still think Kool-Aid probably ends up being the top corner in this draft class.
I saw A.D. Mitchell, speaking of Mitchell from earlier from Texas, I saw him just climb the ladder on Kool-Aid
right. And
take a fade just right over Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that there are a little bit of concerns about his size, but like, yeah, no. I still think Kool-Aid's probably going to be one of the top corner in the draft class.
You got the best name in the draft.
He does. For safeties, you got Malachi Starks from Georgia. And then the other side, you got Jalen Simpson from Auburn. And then
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And final to round out on the defense, you've got DB Alex Johnson from UCLA. So, again, a lot of guys that we've been talking about. There are some new names on that list, but a lot of guys that we have been talking about, especially on the offensive end. You look at Michael Penix Jr., obviously, and you look at that receiving core, and it's guys we brought up, Burden Neighbors. You brought up Brian Thomas Jr. We talk about Brock Bowers every single week. We recommend watching Notre Dame every single week because of Joe Alt and because of Blake Fisher. So, definitely.
And we've got some more Bowers news here in a minute.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little in a sec. But, yeah, a lot of really good talent in this on this mid-season All-America team from PFF, guys that we've definitely been talking about. Getting to our weekly prospect recap, man, sad news came out today. Brock Bowers. Getting ankle surgery, expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. I think that for certain means that he's done for the regular season. Maybe he'll be back for the SEC championship game, but you know, they might just decide to rest him until the college football playoff.
He could. Amarius Mims, the outstanding right tackle for Georgia, back on the early mid September, around the 16th, 18th, something like that, he went down with an ankle sprain as well. And he had this, quote, tightrope surgery that they do that's supposed to get you back 4 to 6 weeks. Now, with Bowers at that point, you know, well, let's say Georgia takes an L or two, right? I don't think they will, but there's a good chance they take an L without him.
Yeah.
He's so important to that team. Does he come back or not? Is he looking at the NFL? But Amarius Mims, again, stud right tackle on this line, had the exact same surgery, but he's not back. He had the surgery, I think, on the 18th of September, something like that. He's not back yet. You wouldn't expect him back yet. But it's the same tightrope surgery that Brock Bowers is going to have. So watch him and see if he comes back. But I think a lot of it is positioning for Georgia. Bowers wants to play.
Of course
he does. Brock Bowers wants to play. He's like, loves that team, loves that program. This is not like a guy just wanting to sit out for the NFL. He's different, man. He's wired differently. He wants to play. And certainly, you know, Brock Bowers, you know, most of the mocks, 12 to 16, with the most of them now, have been moving him 5 to 8. I do not think in a high ankle sprain. Well, Kirby Smart thought it was maybe low ankle after the game. Regardless, left ankle, it's not good. The tight rope surgery should help. But, yeah, anytime you go to surgery with the – now, they do this to expedite your return. That's why they do this surgery. They don't sit there and just ice it down or whatever. You go straight to the surgery so you can get back faster. And the whole goal of the tight rope surgery is to get back.
Yeah, so 4 to 6 window is what they're estimating for his return. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't come back until the SEC title game. And I wouldn't be shocked if they just kept him out to the college football playoff and just make sure he's 100%. Because if you're Kirby Smart, you don't want an injury to hurt his draft.
And if you're not in the playoffs, shut him down.
Oh, yeah, you shut him down after that for sure. Then you've got Mr. Consistent, Malik Nabers, LSU wide receiver. 8 catches, 89 yards and a touchdown. He leads the FBS in receiving yards.
Yeah, because Burton had a little slow game, even though Missouri looked great.
Yeah, a
little bit of a down game. Which is good for them, because Theo East kind of took over the Georgia or the Oklahoma transfer.
Yeah, but he definitely, like, Nabers just is so consistent. You know, I've said this before. It's like he's like Stephon Diggs in fantasy football. Like, he's just so consistent. He always does his thing over and over again, just does his business, and it's so difficult. No, you know, it has to be really difficult game planning for him because you know he's going to get his.
Just every week, it doesn't matter who's on him, he's going to get his. Luther slowed down this game. Really, Kentucky did a nice job on him. Again, Theo East, the former Oklahoma Sooners receiver, was kind of the go-to guy for Missouri in that game.
Then Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC, 23 for 37, 199 yards, a touchdown, 3 picks in their game on Saturday against Notre Dame. Not a great performance at all.
He's had 2 rough performances in a row.
Yeah.
Really, because Michael Penix is kind of passing him, even going back to last week.
Right.
Caleb Williams did look good running the football a week ago against Arizona, but this was not a good game for Caleb Williams. The 3 picks is very un-Williams-like. But here's the thing, Chris, and you and I have talked about it for the longest time. USC was going to slip up. The defense has just been so bad. It was bad against Colorado, bad against Arizona. It was really bad against Notre Dame. People around here asked me, said, who's going to win that game, Notre Dame-USC? I said, it's going to be Notre Dame because they're playing on house money. They got a couple losses, and they don't care. USC is regressing and going backwards. I do think people are going a little bit too hot takey on Caleb Williams. He dropped way out of the rankings now for the Heisman. Listen, he's still a generational player. It's funny because Sean Payton, the coach of the Broncos, right? He was on with Colin Cowherd last year, and he called him a generational player and all this. And look, he looks like he's tanking for him, right?
Yeah.
But all these hot takes about Caleb Williams, not the guy anymore. Listen, he didn't play great against Arizona. This was a bad game. This is one you throw out. I'm sorry. Caleb Williams tried to do too much. Do not look at this guy in any other way. This guy is still the top quarterback prospect.
I don't think it's going to hurt his draft prospect very much.
But the way people are talking about it, it's like, wait, he's had a bad game.
I don't really care what some people are saying because I don't think I don't think what people in the media are saying, I don't think that's the same as what teams are saying.
It's a crappy – the offensive line's getting sacked with too much and their defense is so bad he feels like he has to do too much.
If you know what you're watching, you're fine. Like, you know he's fine. So it's like I don't really care what people who don't know what they're watching say.
He's still got a Heisman trophy in the bags.
And here's – he doesn't need to win the Heisman this year to be number one overall. He's good. Like, it again, Archie Griffin's the last person to win 2 Heismans in a row.
It's tough. You're
a hard man to do. It's so hard to do. And here's the thing about it is, like, he's not playing the best. He doesn't need to play the best because you're not judging him based on statistics. You're judging him based on the talent you see. You're judging him based on the skill that he shows at the position. And that right there is more important than statistics. And he's obviously shown that he's got something in there that could make him a generational type.
He's got 3 NFL receivers, so... Expect big numbers from Caleb Williams going forward.
Yeah, so he'll be fine. He'll be fine. I'm not too worried about that. The guy who has been consistently ranked number 2 at quarterback in this draft class, Drake May from North Carolina, nice little game from him, 17 for 33, 273 yards, 4 touchdowns in that game against, that wasn't Miami, was it?
It was Miami. Two NFL quarterbacks going at it, and Tyler Van Dyke on Miami.
Yeah, Van Dyke's probably going to be like a career backup, but.
But Drake May has put together back-to-back good games, and to me, he's kind of solidified himself as the number two quarterback taken in this year's draft.
I think that seems to be the consensus from a lot of people.
Unless it's Penix.
I would take Penix over May, but I think there's a lot of, like, to me, May.
Penix is a lefty.
It might seem like a little bit of a lazy comparison because they were both UNC quarterbacks, but I could see teams being resolute on him the way they were with Trubisky, whereas, like, I really like this guy because he's got the measurables, and even though there's some stuff on tape you see, it's like, is he really like a great quarterback,
being a lefty,
or he's just
people
a soul?
Backup? Which has been great NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah,
for lefties,
so. Yeah, but like the thing is like I think there's a lot of teams that'll look at him and they'll be like, does he, like, is he just a very refined college quarterback, or is he a great pro prospect? Because I feel like people look at him and they think, like, he plays like a refined quarterback, but I don't see him and I think, this guy's the next great quarterback in football. I just think he's going to be a solid quarterback. And I don't know if I'm taking that as my second overall quarterback. Because to me, it's like Kirk Cousins. Like, Kirk Cousins was a very solid, refined quarterback in Michigan State. Nothing about Kirk Cousins to me jumped out and said he's going to be great in the NFL. I just thought he was going to be a very good quarterback. Because I figured at some point that he would either RG3 would flame out or he would get traded somewhere and he'd end up being
Which was
being
an interesting
good.
Draft strategy, because even though they drafted RG3 to be the guy, you still take Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, they hedged
the
their
same
bet.
Draft.
They hedged their bet, yeah. And it worked. It worked because RG3 flamed out and then Kirk Cousins ended up being their guy for a few years. So, I think that, and that's kind of what I feel like here. I would go with the upside here with Penix. Penix, very strong game against Oregon.
He and two are the only lefties if they get
right.
The NFL.
22-37 for 302, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. This was the kind of performance you needed from him in this big game. 2 top 10 teams going at it. And like I said, after Caleb, Penix is my guy. And I wasn't a huge fan of him going into the year. I watched him play when he was at Indiana, and I wasn't a huge fan of his work. But since he's come to Washington, he's made some huge strides. Obviously, he's got 3 NFL wide receivers to throw to. But he is still a very, very talented quarterback. And you just see it there with him.
And he was banged up a little bit. He got banged up around the abdomen. And he led that touchdown drive at the end. Oregon had missed a field goal at the very end. But he led that drive. And there's something about that. When you stand up and you make a drive in a big game like that and have the guys kind of rally around you, that's the other thing, Chris, is these NFL teams are looking for. Who's a leader, man? Who's going to be the guy to go chill with the players? Like Mahomes is like the perfect example of a dude that plays video games and everybody likes and gets behind. Penix seems to have those kind of traits about him, too. Very, very strong NFL draft traits.
On the defensive side, you got Alabama edge, Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner got half a sack this week. He at least has half a sack in the last 5 games. Incredibly productive at generating pressure. That's not something you see very often from the top defensive like pass rush prospects. Generally, it's like 2 sacks here, a couple weeks off, 3 sacks here, a couple weeks off, stuff like that. You're not getting guys who are every week generating some sort of statistic like that, every week generating a ton of pressure. A lot of times it can be up and down. It can be here or there. For Dallas to constantly be producing every single week for the last 5 weeks now, getting at least half a sack, it to me, that shows up very well. And I think that if you're a team looking for an edge rush prospect, you want a guy that is consistently productive and picks up the game real quick. And he's immediately come in and been the best edge rusher in at a very, very talented school for edge rushers. He looks technically sound, and he is always producing at that position.
It's a big reason why Alabama's 6-1, not because of their offense, which is unusual for Alabama.
It's bad this year.
It's all about this defense. It's about Dallas Turner. It's about Khalid McKinstry. It's about Malachi Moore. It is about guys going out and making plays. Again, watch Alabama. You will know who the hell Dallas Turner is quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether he's second, we're just getting pressure.
We talk a lot about, like, one of the easiest ways to tell who's going to be good at the next level are the guys who jump off the screen.
Yeah, it's when the quarterback walks to the line, or is he at?
Yeah.
Dallas.
Like, you just know, like, when the ball is snapped, that player is he jumps out. Like, I always like to do is, like, watch the offensive line, watch the D-line offensive line, like, watch the pass rush on passing plays. And the guys who are the best prospects constantly are getting pressure on the quarterback, constantly are popping out on the screen like, oh, that guy almost got home. And you notice it. You're like, they pop out on screen there. I mean, when my time working with PFF, like, if you watch a DB, you know who the best DBs are because they're right up at the line of scrimmage challenging the wide receivers.
Or if they draw text between me and you.
Jared Verse did draw a text for me and you. But it wasn't a good text.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he actually did something now. And the other defensive player I want to talk about, Old Dominion linebacker Jason Henderson.
Freak.
This past week, 17 tackles. I think four of them were solo, but 17 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and a sack. Right now he leads the FBS in tackles with 92 in 7 games.
Which is an insane amount.
Insane amount. He's got 13 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks on the year. This guy is incredibly productive. And the thing about it is that position is a position that has lost a lot of significance because really they've kind of been relegated to being like coverage guys now. You're essentially using them like another safety. And the fact that he's so productive in the run game, productive as a pass rusher, getting tackles for loss, shutting down the run game. This is a guy you look at, maybe not first round, because I just don't think, like, I know the Lions took Jack Campbell in the first round, but that was like one of those aberrations, if you will. I think that if there is a linebacker taken in the first round, a true linebacker, not an edge rusher, it's probably this kid.
And the thing about it is, just like Leo Chanel with the Chiefs, even though he's played a lot of middle linebacker at Wisconsin, he's still here. He had 8 sacks, and he still led the team in sacks with 3 during that COVID year. So, and he has a higher PFF pass rushing grade than TJ Watt, which, again, the versatility of linebackers who play all over the place. It's like Henderson.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to look out for here. I'll be interested to see what he does at the combine because – I'll say this, if he kills it at the combine, second round, I think at the very least. But he could work his way up into the first round for a team that's kind of drafting for luxury.
It's going to hurt him with the wide receivers and quarterback class.
Yeah.
If not, he's a first rounder.
Yeah. I mean, and that is the one thing that could hurt his. Yeah. But like, all it takes is one team to convince themselves that we're one great defensive player away.
It takes Dan Campbell in Detroit.
Oh, dude, that would be a Dan Campbell pick. Let's go get the other linebacker. Let's get another first-round linebacker. That would be a Dan Campbell move. But I could totally see...
And it's in Detroit.
I could totally see a defensive team going out and taking a guy like him and just saying, he's going to be our next starting middle linebacker, you know, for the next 8 to 10 years, and we're going to be really happy with that. So, like I said, this guy is very, very productive, and I really like what he's doing there. So on to moneymakers, we got guys that we think are making themselves some money with their performance here lately. Guy that jumped out to me, San Jose State running back Kyrie Robinson, 15 carries, 126 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had 2 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown. Running back is one of those positions, like there's certainly some guys at the very top that you look at and you're like, okay, these guys are certainly going to be priority guys. I mean, obviously, Audric Estime and Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards and Jonathan Brooks. But there's guys that I think third day could end up being better than those guys, could end up bringing a ton of value. Obviously, we've talked about like Ray Davis from Kentucky. But you get a guy like him and Kyrie Robinson who's productive not only as a runner but as a pass catcher. And you're talking about someone that could bring a team really good value on that third day. Then you've got Jason Henderson from Old Dominion, a guy I'd never heard of. But, you know, 92 tackles in 7 games is certainly something you're looking at, and you are saying that jumps out. And when you start jumping out off the screen like that, you're making yourself some money. And finally, LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels. Really, I was looking at the stats this morning. You know, right now he's third in the country and third in the FBS in passing yards, second in passing touchdowns, number one in passer rating.
This thing again, I love watching him play. Again, this LSU offense is an NFL offense. Mm-hmm. Defense is suspect, but this is why I believed in LSU so much at the beginning of the year. They're studs. And Jaden Daniels is a freak. Again, another 3-touchdown performance this week. Think about this, Chris. He's got 325, then 259 against Missouri, but he had 3 touchdowns. 414, 4 touchdowns, 324 touchdowns, 361, 269, 346. Ever. That's just passing. Rushing, 93. Had 130 against Mizzou. It's where he did his damage. 99. So his last 3 games, 93, 190, and 99. He is doing it all on the ground through the air. To me, honestly, I know we talk about Michael Penix and Caleb Williams. We talk about these quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, to me, is the most electric quarterback to just watch. And whether it translates to the NFL, we'll see. But as far as a guy that I'm incredibly intrigued by is Jaden Daniels, because this goes all the way back to when he was at Arizona State.
Excuse me. I think he's probably going to end up being I can see him. I look at him the same way I look at Hendon Hooker. And Hendon Hooker was a guy, incredibly talented quarterback at Tennessee. At one point, Tennessee looked like they might be able to challenge in the college football playoff, especially after they went out there and, you know, they got a win over Alabama. And it was a big win. Their offense was so great. Jalen Hyatt obviously was killing them. What did he have, like 4 touchdowns last year against them? Just shredded them to pieces. And Hooker looked great. He was able to throw the ball down the field along the sidelines, just bomb it with great accuracy. And I look at Jaden, and I see a guy that's got a lot of potential, a lot of talent. And I don't think that there's a lot that you look at as like, okay, this is a guy I'm going to draft first round and immediately start him. But I could see Jaden being drafted by a team that maybe has a decent starter or at least a stopgap. And then they bring him in as a backup, and they develop him, and they give him maybe a redshirt year to really kind of learn the game. And then after that, he gets his starts. The one thing that concerns me about him is I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that makes guys better. There's not that many guys in the league that do that. It's very hard to find. But I do think he's a guy that if you surround him with talent, and you build an offense that allows him to use his athleticism, I think he could be pretty good in
that. What's he do? He's got 2 first-round receivers. But he takes off and runs the ball a lot, too, on his own. When things break down, he just has. And he didn't run a lot at the beginning of the year, but now he does. And they tuned to 93 yards, 130, and 99. But, again, I like watching the wide. I just like watching that offense play.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that they have encouraged there. I'm sure Kelly and his staff are wanting him to use that athleticism more, because there's going to be times where you lose. You know, sometimes play calling is like playing rock, paper, scissors against the defensive coordinator. And you throw out rock and they throw out paper. Sure. And, you know, you lose sometimes. So having a quarterback that is able to improvise and use their athleticism to be able to essentially get a win on a play that you would normally get a loss on is something that really adds to the value of your defense. It's one of the reasons why Mahomes is such a great quarterback. It's one of the things that helps guys like Josh Allen, who has been one of the better quarterbacks in football. That's the thing that really helps those guys out, is being able to extend the play, use their athleticism, and run. So, getting to our watch list. Man, we've got not the slate that we had before, but we do have some good games. Penn State, Ohio State, taking each other on early on there. Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously, in Emeka. Actually, Emeka Egbuka, he didn't play this past weekend, did he? I don't think he did.
He didn't have any. I don't think Egbuka played.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I think on College Game Day they said he wasn't going to play. But if he does play this week.
Kind of like Jackson Smith Enigma the last year.
You said it again?
He did. His name
again. Yeah, he did not play. Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. That was like, and that's probably hurt Ohio State. Obviously, the new quarterback situation, but obviously, like, you know, Egbuka being injured. And remember Marvin Harrison Jr. had that ankle injury that he got in the Notre Dame game.
Now.
He is flashing now.
He's consistent as hell.
He's showing something now.
He's always the best receiver in the country.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, obviously those guys you want to watch, the DTs, Tyreek Williams, Michael Hall Jr., the edges, JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer. And then for Penn State, Olu Fashanu, their left tackle. I think he's the best left tackle in college football right now. I think he's going to be the best guy. They're the only thing that works against him is that a lot of the scouts are saying he's not aggressive enough. He's not mean enough. But he is very technically proficient. He does not have a whole lot of issue against the top edge rushers. I mean, I was watching film of him going up against, what was old boy from Texas Tech last year, this past draft?
Tyree Wilson.
He schooled him. Like, Wilson did nothing against him. Wilson couldn't bull him. Wilson couldn't speed past him. He couldn't do nothing. Like, there was nothing. Every time he came in there, Olu was just like, nah, bro. Like, move over to the side, man. Like, he was like, it was like a bouncer who was just, like, trying to throw a lady out the club or whatever, but trying to do it very nicely. That's how he plays tackle. And obviously, you do want him to have a bit of a mean streak, because sometimes them edge rushers in the league, they be a little mean. But man, like Fashanu, from a technical standpoint, day one starter, a guy that you can entrust your blind side for your quarterback, you can put that guy in and he's immediately going to be an instant impact guy. Then the next matchup, Arizona taking on Alabama. What is it, the third Saturday in October,
or
is what they call it? Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Tennessee and Alabama. It's the third Saturday in October is what they call it, right? And Dallas Turner, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and McKinley Jackson, all there on the defense for Alabama. Also, Malachi Moore.
Yeah, he's that star like Brent Branch did last year. He's a stud to watch. Terrion Arnold, the corner. Basically, right. That whole defense of Alabama.
Yes, like, just watch the defense. The offense doesn't look that great right now. J.C. Latham, their tackle, is someone to watch for.
It's a top five offensive tackle.
Yeah, but their defense is really kind of where their position, their talent is at right now. So definitely check this game out. There are some rumors right now that this might be Nick Saban's last year. You're hearing some rumors that there's a lot of interest. I don't know if I'm buying it, but I could totally see him getting out the game because he's been kind of curmudgeoning and complaining about NIL and all that. So I think at this point, with the team kind of sliding down a bit and Kirby Smart passing him up, I could totally see him being done. So this might be the farewell tour for old Nick Saban there. Then you've got Texas taking on Houston. And Xavier Worthy, who could be a potential Chiefs wide receiver in the 2024 draft. Jonathan Brooks as well, electric running back. Might be my favorite running back from this draft class. Like, just has everything you like. We'll see about Jadavion Sanders. I can't recommend that he's going to play. The ankle injuries, they tend to take a little time there.
There's three guys, really, that have actually been mocked to the Chiefs. Jadavion Sanders, the tight end. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver. And also A.D. Mitchell.
Yes.
The wide receiver that came from Georgia, by the way, stood up in huge games.
Yeah.
Moved to Texas to be closer to his kid. And he is someone to watch as well. Again, I saw him make an incredible catch against Kool-Aid McKinstry when Texas played Alabama.
On the defensive side, they've got Tavondre Sweat, who's probably a top five defensive tackle in this draft class. You got Byron Murphy II, also another defensive tackle there. And then you've got Jalen Catalon at safety there. So make sure you check out the defense as well. Virginia taking on North Carolina. I mean, Virginia's got some talent, but nothing elite. North Carolina, obviously Drake May, who could be the second overall quarterback taken in this draft class. And then they got a linebacker named Cedric Gray. I have done film for him, for working for PFF. This kid jumps out. you know, we talk about the eye test. The guy who jumps out, he jumps out. In the run game, especially in the pass game, good blitzer, gets after the quarterback. Yeah, this guy, I think he's going to be a very good linebacker at the NFL
level. Yeah, he can use all over the field.
Yeah, he can go all over the place. You can put him in coverage, zone, man.
He stands out in the coverage because that is so much that the NFL teams are looking for. Yes. Why is Drew Tranquil doing so well with the Kansas City Chiefs? Why is he great in coverage?
100%. Like, that's the value for him now. If you're just a guy, it was funny. I was watching something earlier. I was watching like top 10 linebacking core for NFL films. They put it out on NFL Network, like NFL top 10, like it was like probably over a decade ago. And they were talking about Mike Singletary. And they were like, Singletary was not good in coverage. And I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, Mike Singletary probably wouldn't play very much in the league today if he had to play in today's NFL.
It's like, unless he got good in coverage. He was actually the top coverage linebacker.
Yeah, he was a great coverage linebacker at Texas A&M. And Mississippi State, you're right. He's Mississippi State. They got
Jones.
They got similar colors.
It looks identical.
Yeah, they do look identical. But yeah, he was top rated pass coverage linebacker in college football his final year there at Mississippi State. Not only that, but like the Chiefs have kind of liked that anyways. Remember Dorian O'Daniel from Clemson? He was a coverage guy. Bolton, he only played 50% of the snaps his rookie year, even though he had well over 100 tackles, because he was not good in coverage. And then last year he took massive steps to improve his ability in coverage. Then you've got TCU and K-State. Ben Sinnott, tight end for K-State, someone to watch for. And then Cooper Beebe, guard as well. The thing that's kind of tough for Sinnott is the quarterback situation. Will Howard has not been very good this year. He's turned the ball over a lot. He's got 7 picks on the year. I think he's tied for like 3rd or 4th in interceptions in FBS. So he's kind of struggling, and so they've kind of turned to Avery Johnson?
The depth chart just came out today, and it's listed as or.
Yes, I'm saying.
The or.
So it's like,
and by the way, Jake Rubley's in there, too.
Yeah, so they got Avery Johnson. But the problem is they're not having him throw the football very much.
Yeah, he rushed for 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, so I'm saying he's a runner mostly. They don't have him throw very much.
They're going to use him both.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking, too. But like, the thing, though, is like, where's the consistency going to be for Sinnott? Because if you're Sinnott, you know you're not going to get a ton of targets if you've got Avery out there. It's going to be mainly when Will Howard is out there that you are going to get your targets. And especially because he's a good deep threat, he's good down the field. Will Howard, though, has had issues throwing down the field. He just chucks the ball down the field to opposing players.
The interceptions, yep.
Yep. So he's definitely – that's – so definitely look out for that. Obviously, Cooper Beebe is still going to eat, especially if, you know, Avery Johnson keeps getting his carries, then Beebe's probably going to be very valuable in that. Appalachian State taking on Old Dominion. I would not have done that if not for Jason Henderson.
Well, we've talked a lot of Jason Henderson.
Yeah, this kid, like I said, you just look at those statistics and whatnot, and you see the kind of performance there. And I think a great combine showing puts him up there in that first 2 round.
Let me see how you can view this. What game channels are those?
I would think ESPN Plus, right?
Dominion.
I would think ESPN Plus is where you'd be able to watch that game. Certainly doesn't seem like a game that they would rush out for television.
Let me see. Old Dominion in. Because keep in mind, we get a lot of Tuesday and Wednesday games too.
This one's a Saturday. This one's a Saturday. USA.
Yeah. Yeah, this is. No way.
What?
Oh. Yeah, it's on NFLN Network.
NFL Network is when they're going to...
That can't be NFL Network.
No, they've showed some college games here and there.
That can't be on NFL Network.
They show some college games on there. It
says NFLN.
Yep. Yeah, it's NFL Network. Yes. I guess...
There you go.
NFL Network will be... I'll check out NFL Network for that game then. Then you've got Michigan taking on Michigan State. J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards on the offense, Chris Jenkins on the defense for Michigan. Michigan's just quietly just trucking along, destroying their opponents. Really, at this point, it's all about the Ohio State matchup.
It's why I've had J.J. McCarthy as my top 2 or 3 Heisman candidate. I started to climb in there now. He's starting to get those odds.
Yeah, he's just been very consistent, working his way up there.
They're loaded with NFL talent.
They've got so much talent. Like, they are loaded. Like I said before the year started, I was like, Michigan should absolutely be one of the favorites to win the national championship, and they have to make it to the national championship game this year instead of losing in the semis like they have the last couple of years. Then you've got Duke taking on Florida State. Don't know about Riley Leonard's availability because of the ankle issue that he's had, but certainly something to watch out for.
Johnny Wilson was banged up.
Johnny Wilson,
State.
Yeah. Johnny Wilson Jr. is banged up.
6'7" receiver.
He's huge. He's massive. I mean, he's a tight end, basically. And then Keon Coleman,
which drew a text from me to you, like he watched this game. He's in the return game, too. The guy's an outstanding returner.
I know, he's 6'4".
Yeah, he returns. Keon Coleman returns. He catches. He does everything.
Of all the receivers in this draft class, he's probably my favorite for that could be in the Chiefs.
Hey, throw him back there to return.
Yeah, like he could do everything. Like at his size, with his athleticism, his ability. I mean, if you're 6'4" and you're return, what 6'4" returner do you know? Like, do you know any?
No.
Can you think of anybody who's been 6'4 in returning kicks? Randy didn't return kicks, even though he could have. But Randy didn't return kicks. Like, who? I can't think of anybody.
He's a freaking. Keon Coleman's a freak of nature. Again, the once KU prospect. Actually, he committed to Kansas.
He did, yeah.
God, they had a hell of a team.
Then Jared Verse on the edge for Florida State and Jaheim Bell.
He kind of just does a little pass. I was like, hey, Jaheim Bell.
Yeah, so there's some
probably
talent there.
Tight end.
Yeah. There's some talent that you can watch out for in that Duke-Florida State game. Obviously, again, we'll see what happens with Riley Leonard. Then you've got Army taking on LSU. And I don't know anybody that plays for Army. They had that Andre Carter kid last year who ended up – he didn't even get drafted. At one point, I was seeing him being a first-round draft pick.
He's with the Vikings.
But he's with the Vikings on – is he practice squad? I think he's practice squad. Because I know there were concerns about his ability to actually even play because – generally, you have to.
He's on the active roster. He's on the active roster.
Is he? Okay. Yeah, because I know he did not get drafted because there were teams that were worried about the additional year of service that you have to have because you have to sign. These guys who go play for the different military academies have to be there for 5 years. And so you leave early like that. You got to get like a waiver or something to be able to go play in the league. I remember there was it an Air Force safety or linebacker?
You can push your service later.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, they had to. Yeah. So I assume he ended up being able to get that waiver because that was the thing that probably tanked his draft stock. Besides the fact that he didn't actually really do that well at the combine, he had like 12 reps on the bench, which for an edge rusher to have like 12 reps on the bench, like Christian McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey had like 10. He had like 10. So yeah, that was definitely.
Orlando Brown, what did he end up with, like 14?
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't great. For a tackle, an offensive tackle, you have 14.
It's not 315, it's 225.
Yeah, as I'm saying, like Leo Chanel had 31 in his pro day. He was out there cranking them. Then you've got Utah taking on USC. Jonah Ellis, edge rusher at Utah, one of the top edge rushers as far as production goes in this draft class. Caleb Williams, you're going to have to watch him. Mario Williams, wide receiver Dorian Singer as well, and Brendan Rice.
Rice's kid has really shot up the draft charts the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, certainly that's going to help when your dad is the greatest wide receiver of all time. Like, there's a lot of talent they've got there at USC.
Notre Dame shut him down.
They did. They absolutely did, and that's going to be on film now, and teams are going to try to emulate that. So I'm really interested to see how they bounce back. This should be a game that they like. I don't think Utah's defense is great, but they've got talent.
They're a good test. Kyle Whittingham always has a team ready, and then defensively, he's a very good team. And
is Cam Rising back yet?
Cam Rising has been
because he's been out all year.
Yeah, because he tore the ACL with it last year.
Yeah, late last year, and so he's basically.
I don't think he played last. I don't think Cam Rising his last time when. I don't think he played at all against Cal. Byron Barnes and Bryson Barnes in that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because Cam Rising is like basically all year long it's been a waiting game to see when he comes back, and he has not appeared
one
to be anywhere near.
One of the Pac-12 stud quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know, and that's and it kind of sucks for him because he's a guy that could very well be a second day guy if he was healthy. And Instead, he's basically just been watching Utah play all year. But Utah's actually been doing pretty well, you know, even though he hasn't played.
The story in Desert News, could Cam Rising get a medical hardship and go back for a 7 years?
Oh, yeah. You'd think he'd have to at this point.
7 years,
though, he's gonna be. That means he's going to be 25.
You should never be at college for 7 years, 25. Man.
Because he already got the COVID exemption, so yeah.
I guess Neil makes it, you can get a living now.
I mean,
you can get that free truck at Utah, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he's doing it. Plus, I'm sure that the cost of living is pretty good out there, so, you know, he's probably doing all right. But yeah, at this point now, he's almost in, you know, able to rent a car at his age range, and he'll be just fine. So, Clemson taking on Miami. You got tackle Zion Nelson, tackle Francis Maui-Goa. Again, very strong offensive line there for Miami. Safety James Williams, quarterback Tyler Van Dyke, who up until that meltdown that they had a couple weeks ago, he was trending in the right direction there. And then that meltdown happened, and he didn't play great that game anyways, but – you know, that meltdown happened, and people are looking at Miami a lot different than they were before. So,
linebacker Barrett Carter from Clemson, like him, and Nate Wiggins.
They got
the corner. Clemson's from Clemson.
Got a
He's
decent
top
amount,
10 corner.
Clemson's
draft.
Got a decent amount of talent for a team that has been mishandled by Dabo Swinney in the last couple of years. Their refusal to use the portal has really hurt them, especially because they've lost a lot of players due to the portal, like DG Uigalale dipping
Oregon
out.
State?
Yeah, going to Oregon State and playing well there and, you know, looking like someone who could be probably a early third-day guy at quarterback and a developmental guy that maybe becomes a Joshua Dobbs in the future. Looking pretty good there. Arizona State taking on Washington. Obviously, we got the Washington trio at wide receiver. And you've got the quarterback there in Michael Penix Jr., who could be the second quarterback taken in this draft.
Odunze, Chela McMillan's kind of been banged up here and there, has been playing. But yeah. Jalen Polk is kind of – I like Odunze better, but Jalen Polk, really, I like the way he plays receiver. He's tall, he's physical, but Jalen Polk is really a guy rising the charts.
And then finally, you've got number 25 UCLA taking on Stanford. Laiatu Latu is a very – like I said, he's my number two edge rusher in this draft class behind Dallas Turner. I really like the kid. I think that he's definitely shown a lot of juice. This UCLA defense is a lot better than I think anyone expected. This UCLA team's a lot better than I think a lot of people expected. And then there's this kid from Stanford named Elik Iomanor, who is a wide receiver.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What you would normally get a loss on is something that really adds to the value of your defense. It's one of the reasons why Mahomes is such a great quarterback. It's one of the things that helps guys like like Josh Allen, who has been one of the better quarterbacks in football. That's the thing that really helps those guys out, is being able to extend the play, use their athleticism, and run. So, getting to our watch list. Man, we've got not the slate that we had before, but we do have some good games. Penn State, Ohio State, taking each other on early on there. Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously, in Emeka. Actually, Emeka Egbuka, he didn't play this past weekend, did he? I don't think he did.
He didn't have any I don't think Egbuka played.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I think on College Game Day they said he wasn't going to play. But if he does play this week.
Kind of like Jackson Smith and Igba the last year.
You said it again?
He did.
Yeah, he did not play. Yeah. That's the thing. That was like, and that's probably hurt Ohio State. Obviously, the new quarterback situation, but obviously, like, you know, Egbuka being injured, and remember Marvin Harrison Jr. had that ankle injury that he got in the Notre
Dame game.
He's
flashing now.
He is flashing now.
He's consistent as hell.
He's showing something now.
He's always the best receiver in the country.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, obviously those guys you want to watch, the DTs, Tyleek Williams, Michael Hall Jr., the edges, JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer. And then for Penn State, Olu Fashanu, their left tackle. I think he's the best left tackle in college football right now. I think he's going to be the best guy. They're the only thing that works against him is that a lot of the scouts are saying he's not aggressive enough. He's not mean enough. But he is very technically proficient. He does not have a whole lot of issue against the top edge rushers. I mean, I was watching film of him going up against what was old boy from Texas Tech last year, this past draft?
Tyree Wilson.
He schooled him. Like, Wilson did nothing against him. Wilson couldn't bull him. Wilson couldn't speed past him. He couldn't do nothing. Like, there was nothing. Every time he came in there, Olu was just like, nah, bro. Like, move over to the side, man. Like, he was like, it was like a bouncer who was just, like, trying to throw a lady out the club or whatever, but trying to do it very nicely. That's how he plays tackle. And obviously, you do want him to have a bit of a mean streak, because sometimes them edge rushers in the league, they be a little mean. But, man, like, Fashanu, from a technical standpoint, day one starter, a guy that you can entrust your blind side for your quarterback, you can put that guy in, and he's immediately going to be an instant impact guy. Then the next matchup, Arizona taking on Alabama. What is it, the third Saturday in October, is what they call it? Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Tennessee and Alabama, it's the third Saturday in October is what they call it, right? And Dallas Turner, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and McKinley Jackson, all there on the defense for Alabama. Also, Malachi Moore.
Yeah, he's that star like Branch did last year. He's a stud to watch. Terry and Arnold, the corner. Basically, right. That whole defense of Alabama.
Yes, like, just watch the defense. The offense doesn't look that great right now. J.C. Latham, their tackle is someone to watch for.
It's a top five offensive tackle.
Yeah, but their defense is really kind of where their position, their talent is at right now. So definitely check this game out. There are some rumors right now that this might be Nick Saban's last year. You're hearing some rumors that there's a lot of interest. I don't know if I'm buying it, but I could totally see him getting out the game because he's been kind of curmudgeoning and complaining about NIL and all that. So I think at this point, with the team kind of sliding down a bit and Kirby Smart passing him up, I could totally see him being done. So this might be the farewell tour for old Nick Saban there. Then you've got Texas taking on Houston. And Xavier Worthy, who could be a potential Chiefs wide receiver in the 2024 draft. Jonathan Brooks as well, electric running back. Might be my favorite running back from this draft class. Like, just has everything you like. We'll see about Jatavion Sanders. I can't recommend that he's going to play. The ankle injuries, they tend to take a little time there.
There's three guys, really, that have actually been mocked to the Chiefs. Jatavion Sanders, the tight end. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver. And also A.D. Mitchell.
Yes.
The wide receiver that came from Georgia, by the way, stood up in huge games.
Yeah.
Moved to Texas to be closer to his kid, and he is someone to watch as well. Again, I saw him make an incredible catch against Kool-Aid McKinstry when Texas played Alabama.
On the defensive side, they've got Tavondre Sweat, who's probably a top five defensive tackle in this draft class. You got Byron Murphy II, also another defensive tackle there. And then you've got Jalen Catalon at safety there. So make sure you check out the defense as well. Virginia taking on North Carolina. I mean, Virginia's got some talent, but nothing elite. North Carolina, obviously Drake May, who could be the second overall quarterback taken in this draft class. And then they got a linebacker named Cedric Gray. I have done film for him, for working for PFF. This kid jumps out. You know, we talk about the eye test. The guy who jumps out, he jumps out. In the run game, especially in the pass game, good blitzer, gets after the quarterback. Yeah, this guy, I think he's going to be a very good linebacker at the NFL level.
A guy that can use all over the field.
Yeah, he can go all over the place. You can put him in coverage, zone, man.
He stands out in the coverage because that is so much that the NFL teams are looking for. That's why Drew Tranquil is doing so well with the Kansas City Chiefs. Why he's great in coverage.
100%. Like, that's the value for him now. If you're just a guy, it was funny. I was watching something earlier. I was watching, like, top 10 linebacking core for NFL films. They put it out on NFL Network, like, NFL top 10, like, it was, like, probably over a decade ago. And they were talking about Mike Singletary. And they were like, Singletary was not good in coverage. And I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, Mike Singletary probably wouldn't play very much in the league today if he had to play in today's NFL.
It's like, well, he got good in coverage. He was actually the top coverage linebacker.
Yeah, he was a great coverage linebacker at Texas A&M. And Mississippi State, you're right. He's Mississippi State. They got similar colors.
Yeah, it looks identical.
Yeah, they do look identical. But yeah, he was top-rated pass coverage linebacker in college football his final year there at Mississippi State. Not only that, but like, the Chiefs have kind of liked that anyways. Remember Dorian O'Daniel from Clemson? He was a coverage guy. Bolton, he only played 50% of the snaps his rookie year, even though he had well over 100 tackles, because he was not good in coverage. And then last year, he took massive steps to improve his ability and coverage. Then you've got TCU and K-State. Ben Sinnott, tight end for K-State, someone to watch for. And then Cooper Beebe, guard as well. The thing that's kind of tough for Sinnott is the quarterback situation. Will Howard has not been very good this year. He's turned the ball over a lot. He's got 7 picks on the year. I think he's tied for like third or fourth in interceptions in FBS. So he's kind of struggling, and so they've kind of turned to Avery Johnson.
The depth chart just came out today, and it's listed as Orr.
Yes, I'm saying.
The Orr.
So it's like,
by the way, Jake Rudley's in there too.
Yeah, so they got Avery Johnson. But the problem is they're not having him throw the football very much.
Yeah, he rushed for 5 touchdowns.
Yes, I'm saying. He rushed. He's a runner mostly. They don't have him throw very much.
They're going to use him both.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking too. But like, the thing, though, is, like, where's the consistency going to be for Sinnott? Because if you're Sinnott, you know you're not going to get a ton of targets if you've got Avery out there. It's going to be mainly when Will Howard is out there that you are going to get your targets. And especially because he's a good deep threat. He's good down the field. Will Howard, though, has had issues throwing down the field. He just chucks the ball down the field to opposing players.
The interceptions, yep.
Yep. So he's definitely – that's – so definitely look out for that. Obviously, Cooper Beebe is still going to eat, especially if, you know, Avery Johnson keeps getting his carries, then Beebe's probably going to be very valuable in that. Appalachian State taking on Old Dominion. I would not have done that if not for Jason Henderson.
We've talked a lot of Jason Henderson.
Yeah, this kid, like I said, you just look at those statistics and whatnot, and you see the kind of performance there. And I think a great combine showing puts him up there in that first two round.
Let me see how you can view this. What game channels are those?
I would think ESPN Plus, right?
Old Dominion.
I would think ESPN Plus is where you'd be able to watch that game. Certainly doesn't seem like a game that they would rush out for television.
Let me see. Old Dominion in. Because keep in mind, we get a lot of Tuesday and Wednesday games too.
This one's a Saturday. This one's a Saturday. Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, this is. No way.
What?
Oh. Yeah, it's on NFLN Network.
NFL Network is when they're going to...
They can't be NFL Network.
No, they've showed some college games here and there.
That can't be on NFL Network.
They show some college games on there. It
says NFLN.
Yep. Yeah, it's NFL Network. Yes. I guess
there you go.
NFL Network will be, I'll check out NFL Network for that game then. Then you've got Michigan taking on Michigan State. J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards on the offense. Chris Jenkins on the defense for Michigan. Michigan's just quietly just trucking along, destroying their opponents. Really, at this point, it's all about the Ohio State matchup.
It's why I've had J.J. McCarthy as my top two or three Heisman candidate. I started to climb in there now. He's starting to get those odds.
Yeah, he's just been very consistent, working his way up there.
They're loaded with NFL talent.
They've got so much talent. Like, they are loaded. Like I said, before the year started, I was like, Michigan should absolutely be one of the favorites to win the national championship, and they have to make it to the national championship game this year instead of losing in the semis like they have the last couple of years. Then you've got Duke taking on Florida State. Don't know about Riley Leonard's availability because of the ankle issue that he's had, but certainly something to watch out for.
Johnny Wilson was banged up. Johnny Wilson,
yeah. Johnny Wilson Jr. is banged up.
6'7" receiver.
He's huge. He's massive. I mean, he's a tight end, basically. And then Keon Coleman,
which drew a text from me to you, like he was this kid. Because in the return game, too, the guy's an outstanding returner.
I know, he's 6'4".
Yeah, he returns. Keon Coleman returns. He catches. He does everything.
Of all the receivers in this draft class, he's probably my favorite for that could be in the Chiefs.
Hey, throw him back there to return.
Yeah, like he could do everything. Like at his size, with his athleticism, his ability. I mean, if you're 6'4" and you're what 6'4" returner do you know? Like, do you know any?
No.
Can you think of anybody who's been 6'4" in returning kicks? Randy didn't return kicks, even though he could have. But Randy didn't return kicks. Like, who? I can't think of anybody.
He's a freaking size. Keon Coleman's a freak of nature. Again, the once KU prospect. Actually, he committed to Kansas.
He did, yeah.
God, they had a hell of a team.
Then Jared Verse on the edge for Florida State and Jaheim Bell.
He kind of just a little pass. I was like, hey, Jaheim Bell.
Yeah, so there's some
probably
talent there.
Top five tight end.
Yeah. There's some talent that you can watch out for in that Duke-Florida State game. Obviously, again, we'll see what happens with Riley Leonard. Then you've got Army taking on LSU. And I don't know anybody that plays for Army. They had that Andre Carter kid last year who ended up – he didn't even get drafted. At one point, I was seeing him being a first-round draft pick.
He's with the Vikings.
But he's with the Vikings on – is he practice squad? I think he's practice squad. Because I know there were concerns about his ability to actually even play because – generally, you have to.
He's on the active roster.
Is he? Okay. Yeah, because I know he did not get drafted because there were teams that were worried about the additional year of service that you have to have because you have to sign. These guys who go play for the different military academies have to be there for 5 years. And so you leave early like that. You got to get like a waiver or something to be able to go play in the league. I remember there was an Air Force safety or linebacker?
You can push your service later.
Right. Yeah. So So I assume he ended up being able to get that waiver because that was the thing that probably tanked his draft stock. Besides the fact that he didn't actually really do that well at the combine, he had like 12 reps on the bench, which for an edge rusher to have like 12 reps on the bench, like Christian McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey had like 10. He had like 10. So yeah, that was definitely.
Orlando Brown, what did he end up with? Like 14?
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't great. For a tackle, an offensive tackle, you have 14.
It's not 315, it's 225.
Yeah, as I'm saying, like Leo Chanel had 31 in his pro day. He was out there cranking them. Then you've got Utah taking on USC. Jonah Ellis, edge rusher at Utah, one of the top edge rushers as far as production goes in this draft class. Caleb Williams, you're going to have to watch him. Mario Williams, wide receiver Dorian Singer as well, and Brendan Rice.
Rice's kid has really shot up the draft charts the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, certainly that's going to help when your dad is the greatest wide receiver of all time. Like, there's a lot of talent they've got there at USC.
Notre Dame shut them down.
They did. They absolutely did, and that's going to be on film now, and teams are going to try to emulate that. So I'm really interested to see how they bounce back. This should be a game that they, like, I don't think Utah's defense is great, but they've got talent.
They're a good test. Kyle Whittingham always has a team ready, and then defensively, he's a very good team. And
is Cam Rising back yet?
Cam Rising has been...
Because he's been out all year.
Yeah, because he tore the ACL with it last year.
Yeah, late last year. And so he's basically...
I don't think he played last... I don't think Cam Rising his last time... I don't think he played at all against Cal. Byron Barnes and Bryson Barnes in that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because Cam Rising is, like, basically all year long, it's been a waiting game to see when he comes back, and he has not appeared
one
to be anywhere near.
One of the Pac-12 stud quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know, and that's it kind of sucks for him, because he's a guy that could very well be a second-day guy if he was healthy. And instead, he's basically just been watching Utah play all year. But Utah's actually been doing pretty well, you know, even though he hasn't played.
The story in Desert News: could Cam Rising get a medical hardship and go back for a seven?
Oh yeah,
years?
You'd think he'd have to at this point.
7 years.
Though he's gonna be, that means he's gonna be 25.
You
when
should
he,
never be at college for 7 years,
25.
Man.
Because he already got the COVID exemption, so yeah.
I guess Neil makes it, you can get a living now.
I mean,
and you get that free truck at Utah, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he's doing it. Plus, I'm sure that the cost of living is pretty good out there, so, you know, he's probably doing all right. But yeah, at this point now, he's almost in, you know, able to rent a car at his age range, and he'll be just fine. So, Clemson taking on Miami. You got tackle Zion Nelson, tackle Francis Maui-Goa. Again, very strong offensive line there for Miami. Safety James Williams, quarterback Tyler Van Dyke, who up until that meltdown that they had a couple weeks ago, he was trending in the right direction there. And then that meltdown happened, and he didn't play great that game anyways, but... You know, that meltdown happened, and people are looking at Miami a lot different than they were before. So,
linebacker Barrett Carter from Clemson, like him, and Nate Wiggins.
They got
the corner.
Clemson's
from Clemson.
Got a
He's
decent
top
amount,
10 corner.
Clemson's
draft.
Got a decent amount of talent for a team that has been mishandled by Dabo Swinney in the last couple of years. Their refusal to use the portal has really hurt them, especially because they've lost a lot of players due to the portal, like DG Uigalale dipping
Oregon
out.
State?
Yeah, going to Oregon State and playing well there and, you know, looking like someone who could be probably a early third-day guy at quarterback and a developmental guy that maybe becomes a Joshua Dobbs in the future. Looking pretty good there. Arizona State taking on Washington. Obviously, we got the Washington trio at wide receiver. And you've got the quarterback there in Michael Penix Jr., who could be the second quarterback taken in this draft.
Odunze, Chela McMillan's kind of been banged up here and there, has been playing. But Jalen Polk is kind of – I like Odunze better, but Jalen Polk, really, I like the way he plays receiver. He's tall, he's physical, but Jalen Polk is really a guy rising the charts.
And then finally, you've got number 25 UCLA taking on Stanford. Laiatu Latu is a very – like I said, he's my number two edge rusher in this draft class behind Dallas Turner. I really like the kid. I think that he's definitely shown a lot of juice. This UCLA defense is a lot better than I think anyone expected. This UCLA team's a lot better than I think a lot of people expected. And then there's this kid from Stanford named Elik Iomanor, who is a wide receiver. Had over 200 receiving yards this past week.
Against Colorado.
He's a true sophomore, and he ruined Travis Hunter. He was killing Travis Hunter. He was. Seriously, like, Iomanor is someone, he's not draft eligible this year, but next year he's going to be a guy to watch because he could definitely put himself into that. It would take a crazy amount of effort for him to overtake Luther Burden as the top receiver next year. But he's a guy to watch out for on the first 2 days of the draft, for sure, I think.
Yeah, Travis Hunter is an interesting guy. And, you know, with Colorado, because we're talking about the guy that can play both ways. And he really started to shine against TCU because he goes and plays both directions. And he's got another year there at Colorado.
Yeah, he's still got one more year.
But here's the interesting thing about him. I saw on Twitter... He was, you can always obviously look up his numbers. He's a tremendous receiver. He's really gotten better because he had relatively few snaps,
right,
even last year back at Jackson State as far as wide receiver is concerned. Against Colorado or against Stanford, 13 for 140 and two touchdowns. It's a very productive day at wide receiver. But he allowed 11 for 158 and two touchdowns. All right, for the season, 29 for 353, two touchdowns, but he's allowed 223 yards and three touchdowns and a 91 passer rating, according to a tweet from NFL Rookie Watch, who says that scouts say he needs to concentrate on one position or the other. He's a tremendous corner when he concentrates on that. I think playing in Power 5, being D1, that is so difficult, doing Iron Man, playing both sides of the ball. He's got a real decision to make because I think he's a tremendous wide receiver. I can make the same argument. He's a tremendous defensive back, even though he's a much better wide receiver right now than defensive back. However, if he just concentrated on being a defensive back, he'd be top 10 in the draft. He'd be top 10 in offense or defense, but he needs to pick one side and concentrate on that.
I think
it's
so, too.
It's starting to come back to him.
I think so, too. I mean, it's awesome seeing a guy play both ways. It's fun. I don't think it's smart. You're doubling the injury risk. And wide receiver is a position that pays better than DB does. There's like one DB right now in the NFL that makes $20-plus million. That's it. There's one guy.
He's a stud at wide receiver. You know,
he's
doing his deal. He can be tremendous at both, but man, his defensive back skills have really started to slip this year.
Yeah, so I'm saying it's like.
But his wide receivers have gotten better.
Yeah, they have gotten better, but like you're going to have to cover better guys at the next level. So
he's so fluid in what he does.
If you're a great wide receiver, go be a great wide receiver because there's more value, there's more money in it, there's more notoriety in it. Like, there's not very many. Like, today, DBs can't play football the way they could 30 years ago. They can't be as physical. They can't press the same way they used to. They can't tackle the same way they used to. It's just a different game. And if you can go be a producer on the offense, you can go be a wide receiver. You have much more impact on your team's winning as a wide receiver than you do as a corner. You make more money. You have opportunity to make more money outside the sport because there's more recognition being a great offensive player. And then on top of that, probably going to be better for his health too because he's going to be playing a position where he probably doesn't need to be nearly as physical as he would be as a corner. Because as a corner, you're going to be expected to come up and make tackles. As a receiver, you're going to be run blocking, but like a lot of receivers don't run block with a lot of ferocity and they're trying to go out here and lay the wood on these DBs. A lot of them are just trying to get in the way. So he can kind of manage his body, save himself. A lot of receivers will catch and run out of bounds. So they take a lot less hits than a DB would. Whereas a DB, you're going to be expected to not only cover, but you're going to have to hit guys. And there's a lot more danger in it. So I think that Hunter, if he's going to do the smart thing, go out there, get your money as a receiver, and work your way up that way because there's a ton of value there in being a wide receiver in the NFL. Top wide receivers now are making over $30 million. Hell, by the time that he's, you know, if he has a great rookie contract and he ends up getting to a point where he can make market-setting money as a wide receiver on his second contract, you're talking about, like, probably at that point, $35 million a year, which is pretty damn great for a wide receiver. So I think it'd be smarter for him to play wide receiver. So with that.
Oh, one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to bring up one guy in the UCLA-Stanford game. Yeah, I know this is a geeky thing. Watch this J. Michael Sturdivant. He's over 6 foot. He's 6'3". He was a high school sprinter.
You like those tall guys, don't you?
Yeah, he's a sprinter and a long jumper. And all of his targets come 20 yards down the field. 50% of his catches come 20. He's like averaging 20 yards per reception. He's really starting to climb the charts. J. Michael Sturdivant.
Yeah, I've heard of him. He was a guy.
UCLA's leading yardage guy.
He was a receiver that I had heard about before the year, but like I hadn't seen any hype for him during the season. So, yeah, the taller guys like that, especially if you are taller and you're showing an ability to run after the catch – or the ability to get open down the field, there's value in that. It's the reason why Johnny Wilson Jr. is someone that is a very enticing guy. He's very Mike Evans-like, but the thing about him is that he is someone that is able to, he can get down the field a little bit. He's not going to burn DBs. You're still going to have to throw up a 50-50 ball to him, but because of his size and he's got some mobility there, he's going to be able to win a lot of those possession catches. Keon Coleman is another one of those guys, except Keon Coleman has wheels. Like, I'll say this, man. Keon Coleman, if he has like a 4.4 40, he's not, the Chiefs aren't going to be able to get him if he has a 4.4 40 time.
No.
They're not going to be able to get him. He's going to be the second or third receiver taken off the board. So with that, that concludes this week's edition of the Character Concerns podcast. We appreciate you guys listening to us. Make sure that you subscribe, share with your friends, give us a 5-star rating, all that jazz. We appreciate the support that you guys have been giving us throughout the time that we've been doing this. We are about halfway through the regular season for college football now, and pretty very, very quickly we'll be on to the conference championship games, we'll be on to bowl season, and then we will have the national title game, and then after that we're in draft season.
Combine time. We'll take a look. But, you know, we're starting to see the matchups you want to see, because you're always going to reference these games.
Yeah, these are just the like games Jalen right
Polk,
here.
Jalen Polk, McMillan, and Romo Dunze. Yes. You'll say, hey, man, what'd they do against Oregon?
Right.
What'd they do in that Oregon game we saw? It.
These are the games where the scouts are paying the most
just
attention.
It's like A.D. Mitchell versus Kool-Aid McKinstry. So one of the best receivers going against that one matters. Of the best corners. Great battle.
That adds points to his value because he was able to moss Kool-Aid, who's probably the best corner in his draft class.
He did moss him.
So these are the games you want to watch out for, and that's why we recommend that you check these out. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. We appreciate you guys listening to us, and we'll catch you guys next week.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.